As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. All right. There you are, Andy.
How are you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That's a much better setup.
Okay, so we're back to where we were.
we're back to where we were, but I don't need to see you. Because with 16 years of experience, you and I together, we know each other's dance moves. Like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire.
Boy, that's going old school.
How about that, huh? See, you didn't think a younger guy like me would know that reference, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, impressed. How are you doing, my friend? How is your Hanukkah going? It's not over yet, correct?
Yeah, it's an odd year where it syncs up with Christmas, and so we are only halfway through. In fact, we hit the halfway point last night.
Oh, very nice.
It's actually going to be cool because it'll end on New Year's Eve, I believe, or New Year's Day. Yeah.
Festing upon your granddaughter all kinds of gifts, or are you not doing the gift thing? Because Scott and Sally said they don't really do the gift thing anymore.
Well, Sally doesn't have kids, and Scott's kids are older. One's still in high school, one's out of college, and one's in college. But my granddaughter's 2.5, so yes, we do gifts.
You're treating it like just a good old Goyim Christmas, basically. Christmas for the Jews. Give them gifts.
As I've told you before, this is a minor holiday that's become over-commercialized because of Christmas. And that's really what it is. Because it used to be, back in the old days, you know, you get a couple of chocolate coins each night. But now it's ramped up to, you know, keeping up with the Goyim.
Exactly. All right. So I have so many things to talk about. And, of course, I shouldn't even be putting out a podcast on a Monday. We taped this on Sunday morning. It is our weekly Sunday morning conversation, which got me to thinking, Andy. Remember when ESPN used to have the Sunday conversation? Brought to you by Applebee's. Do they still do the Sunday conversation on ESPN?
I don't know. I don't really watch Sunday morning ESPN. Most of my ESPN watching is done either with PTI or, you know, one of the 30 for 30s or something like that. I really don't watch SportsCenter very much anymore.
But you remember when they used to do Sunday Conversation, and Sunday Conversation was just that. It was a long-form chat with a important athlete, coach, newsmaker in sports.
Yeah, well, I mean, ESPN used to do half-hour interview shows. And they went by the wayside, and then PTI came along, and they did 5 good minutes. and that proved to be enough. So the Sunday conversation is, you know, or could be similar to that.
I guess that's gone by the wayside, like so many other things in sports, as we barrel headfirst into a world that nobody even understands right now when it comes to sports. The shit that's happening, okay, let's start with the Bulls, okay? You had a quarterback opt out of a bowl game at halftime last night in the form of Cam Ward, and you had all this fighting online about, oh, this was the plan all along, and relax, it's just the Pop-Tart Bowl. I thought it was just a shitty, shitty look, if you ask me.
But you know, that doesn't really matter anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. Although, should it matter? Shouldn't something matter to a certain extent?
Okay, Cam Ward is going to come out for the draft. And we got a lot of time between now and when the draft is in late April. And all that happens is rumors get out, and this guy said this about this guy, and he doesn't want to play there, and his dad wants a percentage of the team. And most of the time, they don't turn out to be true. And the proof will be in the pudding with Cam Ward. Either he can play or he can't play. And I don't think this or anything else that he does is going to make a difference in where he gets drafted.
I agree with that entirely. I do think he didn't answer questions about it after the game, which I also thought was weak. And the coach didn't answer questions about it either. They said that they kept him in to get the record. I have no fucking idea what the record is. What record was he going for?
I have no idea.
So even you have no idea. I think I saw in passing it was the record for most touchdowns in college football history. Might be combined. Who knows? He had a longer career because of injuries. He tore up his knee multiple times, played at three different schools, went 5 years of playing with several other years of rehab, I think, mixed in. It's not as long as his fellow Cam, the tight end for Miami, who literally just finished a 9-year career. Did you see that?
No, I did not, but that's not uncommon in the COVID era.
And also, 9 years, Andy?
Well, and here's something that's relatively new as well. You can play as many as four games, and it doesn't count as a year.
Right.
It used to be, oh, you put the guy on the field. Oh, you blew a redshirt year. Oh, that was really stupid. And now it doesn't really matter. I'm going to give you one that's, you know, this is going to go way back. But there was a quarterback at Florida named John Reeves, and I think this was 1970 or 71. And he needed X amount of yards to get the record. His team had just scored, and the defense went on the field and laid down when the other team was, you know, on offense, so Reeves could get back on the field and set the record.
Right.
That's 1970. I mean, this stuff is, you know, been nonsense has been going on for a long time.
Right. Now, Jaden Daniels did opt out of the bowl game against Wisconsin a couple of years, or last year, I believe it was. And so other players have opted out of bowls, and I have 0.0% problem with that. And I realize it's the fucking Pop-Tart Bowl. More on that in a second. That said, either play or don't play. Don't play half and then sit down, because it was a close game. And his guys were out there trying to win, and they probably would have won if he had stayed in the game. That's a tacky move. This is like going to a party, saying, are you coming to the party? Yes, I'll be there. And then you show up at the party, and you retreat to a corner of the host's house and sit and watch a game on your phone without talking to anybody. Yes, were you technically at the party? Yeah, but it just is a dick move. Don't do that. Just say, I'm not coming to the party. I got a game to watch.
Well, but was this prearranged with the team?
I don't care if it's prearranged. It's a bad look. I don't care if your wife said, well, my husband will come to the party, but just to let you know, he's going to sit in the corner and watch his phone because there's a game on. It doesn't matter.
Look.
It's a bad look. Avoid bad looks.
Oh, it's an exhibition game.
So what did he get from playing a half? So then play the whole thing.
He got the record, which I guess was important to him. And the system that allows this kind of stuff, you know, so be it. That, you know, nobody seems to care anymore.
Okay. So what record did Cam Ward break? I'm typing it in right now so I can get to the bottom of it. I'm a little frustrated that you can't at least see the bad optics of it, that you can't at least appreciate that this was a
bad,
dick move.
But
after that. Once you say it's bad, agree with me and go, yes.
In this meaningless bowl last night. Do you know that? They played against BYU.
They got rolled as well.
Okay, but they played. You think that's a lot better? I don't know.
I thought I saw that he had bounced out of the game at some point as they were getting their asses handed to him.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Or maybe Travis Hunter who bounced out as well. The reason, and you can say, well, good for Prime for telling his players, we're going to play in the bowl game. He said this after they fell just short of the college football playoff. But they probably played the game for one reason only, and that was so his son could wear his custom blue and red New York Giant cleats. Did you see that?
No, but that's very Deion-ish of him.
Deion said, we know where we're going. We know where we're going. And currently the Giants are sitting on the 1/1, and they're playing so fucking terribly, it'd be a shock if they win a game in these last 2 weeks. But stranger things have happened, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with the Eagles. They may have nothing to play for in the final game, so that could go either way.
All right, Cam Ward sets the Division I record with 156 touchdown passes.
Great.
How about that?
I think that's right up there with 714 home runs or 755 or 762, whichever one you like.
Is it just me, Andy? Well, let me just finish up on the bowls. So the Pop-Tart Bowl. You know my love of Pop-Tarts. I know your ability to not be obsessed with snacks and sweets. Have you ever eaten a Pop-Tart?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Do you like them?
Yes, but not enough to eat them. If I'm going to have those kind of calories, I like to have them.
I like them, but I don't like them enough to eat them. What is that?
Correct. Because if I'm going to eat those type of calories, I'm going to eat them in something that's really good, freshly baked, homemade.
Like a tiramisu from a fine restaurant kind of thing?
Yeah, not something that has a shelf life of 42 years. I'm not doing that.
Okay, fine. So you don't really eat Pop-Tarts. You've had one before, though.
I've had them. Yeah, well, I've changed the way I eat in the last or 6 years. So
that's wonderful. I need to do the same thing. But Pop-Tarts are delicious. However, I need to remind people that the Pop-Tart kingdom sits on a throne of lies because the photos of the amount of icing on each Pop-Tart is wildly more than you ever get in the actual bag itself. The short sheeting of the Pop-Tart icing is a scandal that needs to be addressed, in my humble opinion.
But it's also a food that you could go into and pick up at a gas station and it might have 3 inches of dust on it, but you can still eat it safely.
It really does. It has a long shelf life. Now, you got to admit and appreciate the marketing people behind Pop-Tart and Kellogg's. They've gotten the most bang for their buck by playing up and leaning into this whole thing with the Pop-Tart Bowl having a trophy that actually will toast to Pop-Tarts. They have dominated this sponsorship cycle. Other bowls are being sponsored by things I don't even know what they are.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good thing. And look, it's a lot less disgusting than the Mayo Bowl where they dump mayonnaise on the coach.
Yeah. Somebody said, do you think Bill Belichick, if he goes to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, will let his players dump him with mayo?
No.
I don't think so either. He's got to make a bowl first as well. That's not a guarantee. So you had the Cam Ward thing, which I'm not going to get worked up over, but I still think it's a bad look. You had other bowl misbehavior, such as the brawl in the ECU-NC State Military Bowl.
Ridiculous. Touched it off?
Yannick Smith stealing a towel from a player on NC State. Grow the fuck up. This is why sportsmanship should still matter.
I agree. If I was the coach, I would say, just don't come back next year. If this is the way you want to handle yourself, just leave, go transfer. The portal's open. Get out.
Yeah. Well, and after the game, Dave Doran of NC State said he was embarrassed for his team. So at least he said, look, who knew that NC State and East Carolina were such blood-hot rivals, not even being in the same conference. Guess that 80-mile proximity down there in the Tar Heel State is enough to get them all ginned up.
I guess. The story I have is, was the player from ECU grabbed the towel.
Yes.
So
that's what I said. So, ECU's Yannick Smith stole it from NC
State.
Yeah,
so he touched it off. So
I know. Well, and there was also other scuffling. But
embarrassed as the East Carolina coach, right? Don't you think?
Well, I agree. I did not hear the East Carolina coach and his comments. Right. He might have been similar in Dave Doran, who said, this is embarrassing. But yes, even more so that it's the Military Bowl, where in the military they have standards and protocols and discipline, and they don't stand for bullshit. So there was that.
And I don't know. I'm sick of
it. There was also fights in the Miami game in the Pop-Tart Bowl on the sideline. Miami players were full on swinging at each other on the sideline. That was not a good look. And then the worst asshole of Saturday night was Fernando Carmona of Arkansas, who purposely stepped on the ankle of an opposing player in their bowl game, and it was caught clear on video. I mean,
what
are we playing these games for if this is going to be the shit that goes on?
Right. The larger picture of this year there were 24 teams that entered with a chance to win the national championship. And of the rest of them were sent to these type of bowls. And they apparently don't give a crap about them. The only reason they exist is so that ESPN will have programming. You look at the stands at some of these games, there's like a dozen people there. Nobody's there. Nobody cares.
The bowl games are, as you once aptly described them, the Yule log of the modern television society. Right?
Yeah, that's all they are. You walk around, you see them in gyms and stores this time of year. It's always on. Oh, who's playing? Hey, how come nobody's there?
Well, who's playing?
Nobody cares.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Do you have money on the game? If you did, you'd already know who's playing and who's leading.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to these things. I went to the Pinstripe Bowl. It's got to be 8 or 9 years ago. It was two basketball schools, Duke and Indiana. And it was kind of fun. But, it was not a meaningful game in any way. It was just two teams with an extra game. That's it.
And yet these bowls persist in what is now the college football playoff era, in which it looks like they're going to probably expand. I wonder how long they'll continue to exist.
As long as the money is there, right?
Exactly. Yeah, as long as ESPN pays for them and there's a corporation that says, here, we'll put our name on it. Do you know who 68 Ventures is?
No.
Did you know that Snoop Dogg sponsored a bowl?
I wouldn't be surprised. Didn't the Barstool guy do one?
Yeah, they did one last year, and they said they'll never do it again. They lost their shirt. It was a terrible investment. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, which is my point. I think they're bouncing down the ladder of – even the lesser bowls back in the day used to have, for lack of a better term, real companies putting their name on it.
Well, there used to be a reasonable amount of bowls. You used to have four New Year's Day bowls and maybe four or five, six for the rest of the whole season.
Right.
So, now they don't have enough teams. They have to find, 5 and 7, we'll put you in. What the hell? Yeah, we need another team. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So Gasparilla Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl, First Responder Bowl, Bahamas Bowl, Salute to Veterans Bowl, the Game Above Sports Bowl, the Cure Bowl, Frisco Bowl, the Fenway Bowl. Oh, wait, I think I'm reading bowls that might be extinct at this point. The Holiday Bowl is another one.
No. Actually, the Fenway Bowl was yesterday. They have those.
Okay.
They're still around.
Okay. Well, it's kind of, It blows my mind. And the portal, by the way, I saw a video from someone who's deep into college football recruiting and whatnot, and they said, look, here are the numbers. And he ran through the numbers. He said, currently in football, there's 1,500 and so-and-so players who started a game last year in the portal. And there are not going to be that many landing spots for them next year. There might be, at best, say 1,000. There's going to be 600 or so kids that just never get out of the portal.
Well, that's a good life lesson. Sometimes you have to be patient And you know, you go back to the, then you know what they can do.
What can they do now? Go back to junior college and grind away.
Go back in, and if you come back to school as a 25-year-old sophomore, nobody's going to care.
Oh my God, are we having fun yet? Is Jay Billis happy now that these kids are getting paid and they can get what they want and they can go anywhere they want? Are you? Is everyone who wanted to pay the players happy now?
This is no. This is not what Jay Billis advocated. He advocated paying the players, and you can pay the players, but you have to treat it like professional sport. You have to give these guys contracts. There has to be an agreement here, you can't have guys going 1 year and saying, "Oh, I had a good year, now I'm going to shop my services." No, if you have a contract, you can't leave, or you can have a buyout. That's the way it's got
to
work.
So Mr. Billis was eager to tear up the system that had worked so well for a long time and had no idea that things would get out of control or had no ironclad structure in place. He just said, these poor kids are getting exploited. They should get paid. So now we have complete chaos. And by the way, this is bad for most of the kids. Some of them will be lucky enough to scrape up some money, some pretty good money. But they're young. It's not going to set them for life. Even $4 million is not going to set a kid for life. That is going to evaporate like a puddle on a driveway in the middle of the summer sun.
A lot of them don't get it. It wasn't that. It was, instead of spending all their money, the NCAA, fighting this and trying to prevent it before it finally went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, no, this is ridiculous. It's like slavery. Forget it. And what they should have done is spent their time creating a structure, which they're ultimately going to have to do, and a structure where the players get paid. And that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah. You know what the structure is, Andy? It's called a high school entry draft. It's called trades. It is called salary caps and a CBA and lockouts and strikes. That's what it's called.
Okay,
it's league.
How about this?
For a high school senior in Florida to be told he's going to the Idaho Vandals because they have the first pick in the draft.
You're not going to draft high school players. Why not? What you're going to do, because that's not going to work. What you will have is you will have a salary cap, and here's the way a 2-year contract works. Player signs a 2-year contract coming either from another school or from high school. At the end of those, or at the end of the first year, if he wants to leave, he can have a buyout, or there can be a mutual parting of the ways after the first year, or at the end of 2 years, it is also up to the school. So it works like a regular 2-year contract for anybody else, that if the school doesn't want him anymore, they just cut him loose and don't have to pay him. That's the way that's got to work.
Okay. Well, I, if it works the way you say it does, it'll be a damn miracle, because there's all kinds of unintended consequences and entrenched interests to prevent what would be a functioning system from ever coming to place. This is why they can't close the portal right now. Too many people don't want it closed. Too many unscrupulous actors who are getting 20% commission on NIL deals do not want the portal closed at all. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Hey, everybody, El Baldo here. Look, I know what you're thinking. Pretty ironic having me talk about hair loss prevention, right? Well, my hairline is long gone. Maybe there's still hope for yours. In fact, I think there is. Let me tell you, if I'd known about Hims back in the day, who knows? I could have been a player, Jerry. Maybe I wouldn't be rocking the chrome dome now. But here's the deal. Hair loss isn't fun to talk about, but Hims makes dealing with it incredibly easy.
No awkward doctor visits, no uncomfortable conversations. Just answer a few questions and their medical providers will determine if the treatment is right for you. They've got everything from chewable tablets to sprays and serums using clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can help regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. And get this, they'll ship it right to your door for free if prescribed, all for one low price, no insurance needed. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Zabe. That's HIMS.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's hims.com/Zabe. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, Condoleezza Rice is apparently the one who said when this was happening, oh, we need to have agents help these players. That has turned into a complete mess because there's no contracts. So the agents are just trying to shake down the schools for more money all the time.
But it's, here's the problem. Without agents, you know what the kids would get a lot is, yeah, Johnny, we promised you $1 million, but all we have is 200 grand. Sorry. That's already happening. I know
it's already happening.
I know, but
they're being promised the money and it's not there when they get there.
I know. And so the reason that kids have agents is to try to hold the school's feet to the fire to go, look, you promised this, you're not delivering. Do you want a lawsuit on your hands or something else? Hell, there's a case. Okay. So there's a player for Wisconsin who's from Florida, who signed with the Badgers, he's a cornerback. Xavier Worthy, I think his name is. No, that's the pro wide receiver. Xavier someone. And he wants to transfer in the portal to Miami. And Wisconsin's not releasing his name to the portal. They're holding him hostage. And I went back and forth on Twitter with people going, so what's the best case scenario here? And people are like, let him rot. Like, so he's not going to play for you and he's not going to play for another school that is 2,000 miles away in a different conference. How is that a win? And you send the beacon out to every other kid in the portal, don't go to Wisconsin. They'll keep you there if they think there was tampering. Well, you got to set an example that you're not going to roll over for other schools to tamper with your players.
What is tampering? What is tampering?
That's what I was saying. He was talking before the approved period with people. The Miami deal was already in place. You have to stand firm on this. I was like,
a kid from... Yeah. Tulane is leaving Tulane to get $4 million a year from Duke.
Again, Jay Billis must be thrilled. So he's excited about that. The kids are getting paid, Andy, because here's the other knock-on effect, and this stunned me when I saw it. Our former George Mason head coach, I wouldn't say our friend per se, but a guy we knew, and I like him. He's a mensch. Jim Larrañaga quits mid-season as head coach at Miami in hoops, saying, I can't deal with it anymore. These conversations I'm having with players are nuts about, well, if you'd gone to $1 million, we could have done the deal, but you could only go to 800,000. He also mentioned that after they went to the Final Four a couple years ago, that eight of his guys went into the portal. He said, this is not what I was made for. Now, you could say, well, this is bad form quitting in the middle of the season. Fucking players do now. So, what's fair is fair. Coach is out. Deal with it. That's number one. Number two, you're going to chase out, which they already are, the good coaches who know how to do this, who are not scumbags, like Larrañaga. You're going to chase out Jay Wright already. You chased out Tony Bennett at Virginia. Nick Saban got ahead of it down there at Alabama. And you're going to replace him with what? Grifters, scammers, and guys who you don't want coaching your son. Or part-timers like my former colleague Doug Gottlieb, who is getting his ass handed to him up at UW Green Bay. He's a part-time coach. I know. He's a part-time coach. This is what this is all doing. And you could say, well, you know, Larrañaga made millions and millions and millions coaching. Yeah, because he's a professional coach. And he understood how to get guys to buy in together and play towards a common goal. And he's a decent person. You're chasing out the decent people who are going to coach your sons all because a few guys want to make a couple million, maybe, minus 20% from the agents, and maybe have it actually delivered by the schools if they don't renege upon it. All just because this is, we got to get paid, got to get paid, got to get paid. 90% of these kids are not going pro. They need an education for the rest of their life. And they need education. To have somebody who's education. A decent human being to coach
that's
them.
Gone.
Well, you, this is okay. Education. This is your that's rant. Gone. You shit on higher education. It's shocking to me with two kids who have benefited from quality higher educations at Indiana and Wisconsin.
Exactly, but they were actual students. This is just the money grab.
The athletes can be students if they want. Many of them are.
If they want to be, but they're not encouraged to be because if you're transferring schools all the time, those credits don't always transfer. And you got your mind, and plus, you know, in the football situation, nobody goes in the second semester because they're all preparing for the draft. Those are eligible to do that. So there's that. I mean, there's just and by the way, I like Larrañaga, but the Final Four team that he had with Miami, the top four scorers were all transfers. You know that. And some of those players were getting paid. And now he said, okay, I'm going to try and do this with all or most of these guys getting paid, some of them big contracts. And he got his ass handed to him. And he said, well, forget it. I can't do this. I don't blame him for trying. And I don't blame him for walking away. But it's not like he said, oh, I'm holding the line against transfers. I'm not paying any players. He didn't do that. He got in. He played the game.
I understand he is not a moral martyr. However,
he didn't do anything immoral. He just did it the way the current system works.
I know.
And it didn't work out for him.
I know. I'm not saying, oh, poor Jim Larrañaga. He's the poor guy. I'm not poor guying him. I'm just telling people what is happening is Division I athletics in football and basketball is barreling at light speed towards AAU basketball. The dynamic of the shadiest of the shady, shitty people who are coaching your kids who will lead to a shittier experience. The class acts are running from this mess. And I just mentioned them.
Yeah.
Larrañaga is the latest. He won't be the last.
Okay. I got two people that we both know pretty well. Gary Williams and John Thompson. Yes. Each of them won a national championship.
Yes.
Gary would have looked at this just like Jay Wright did a few years ago. No chance. Gary, go back and coach high school. He wouldn't have touched this. John understood money. He liked money. And also, can you imagine a kid walking into his office and you know how fast he went from zero to Mount Vesuvius? Some kid walking into his office saying, yeah, coach, I'm going to need $1 million.
I know.
And he also had his contacts with Phil Knight and Sonny Vaccaro and people like that. And if he needed big cash to get somebody, he would do it. So, you know, he's old school and he was a great coach and a guy who never had any problems on his program with probation or anything like that. But some guys might have been suited to do this. And even an old school guy like that might have succeeded.
Yeah, might have. I don't know. As much as I adored our former colleague and friend, Big John, something tells me the current generation would stare him right back in the face and say, fuck me, fuck you. You're 5-13 in league. You need me. I'm out. Guess who's on line two? UConn.
Okay. But then
also, they would do that to Thompson. And if the kids don't do it, the agents would do it.
They would do it, but also a phone call to Phil Knight, you know, might come up with the cash that he needs to get ex-player from UConn. You know, and that's again, how that works too.
And again, Andy, Nike and John's connection with them obviously is huge. But Nike has a lot of irons in the fire at a lot of schools.
I know.
And so it's not like Georgetown is the only Nike shop. I don't know how it would have worked out, but I know this. John Thompson, Big John, like Gary, like other good coaches, don't put up with bullshit, and they hold the kids accountable, and they give them coaching that is needed to both play good basketball and a bit of life lessons that will carry on for as long as they live. And that's being stripped away in this pursuit of money.
That's a quaint notion. And that I'll have to do in Division III right now, because the money is just too big, and it's not the genie's not going back in the bottle. Sorry.
Okay. Well, you say it's a quaint notion. I think you're very cynical in that regard. I think even Division I, where 90% of the guys don't play pro ball, maybe more than 90%, but at least 90% don't play in the pros. They can benefit from that structure and the free education that you shit upon, shockingly.
I'm not shitting upon it, but
you're saying it's
now,
yeah, whatever.
The system doesn't emphasize that. It's not important anymore. It's how much money you can get wherever you want to go. And if you go to three schools, that's fine. There's no problem with that, because the portal's wide open, and the NCAA or whoever's in charge of this can blame themselves, because they should have been setting up a structure for this for years instead of fighting in court and trying to hold on to something that wasn't realistic to hang on to anymore. Yeah.
If they had made a move, though, to say, okay, we're going to get off this amateur model, we're going to go to this system, they would have been met instantly with lawsuits in other directions saying, whoa, whoa, you can't have salary caps. Whoa, 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 you can't have, you know, free agency. Whoa, whoa. Like, they would have been hit no matter which way they stepped.
You can collectively bargain those things. The players can unionize.
They have to make the players a union first. That hasn't happened yet.
Yes, but that's another step in the process. You have to have unions to make this work.
I know.
You have to do it.
Well, the players don't want a union. Otherwise, they would have voted for it.
That'll be part of the system. If you don't want to be in the union, don't play.
All right, so 1 year we're going to have a lockout in college football. That'll be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it. Be like just like a pro lockout. Let's go.
No, they won't have a lockout. Because,
why not?
Because they'll get, because there'd be no shortage of players. They'll find players.
Well, no, there'll be a lockout. And then, no, there'll be a lockout. So once private equity owns Alabama, Michigan, Florida State, et cetera, owners of the private equity that own the brands of the football programs, they'll say, fuck this, we need a CBA. We're locking the players out. And then they'll bring in scabs called Division II guys.
Yeah, or the high school guys who, you know, didn't get the scholarship. You know, it's got to work that way. There's got to be a structure just like pro sports. Yeah. Jay Billis didn't advocate this.
Yeah, but he's got this.
Money for the players.
He wanted to flip the table, and now the table's flipped.
No,
yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
I was one of the few that said the system works great. A college education is incredibly valuable.
And
90% of these guys don't go pro anyway. They're getting all kinds of benefits as it is on their way to the pros. Marketing, exposure, TV, you name it, training, coaching, etc. And I'm saying this is a good deal. This system works. It keeps a level playing field for all these institutions. And by the way, it pays for all the other programs that don't make money. All the women's programs, all the Olympic sport programs. But hey, the table's flipped. So a quarterback from Tulane can make $8 million from Duke. Hope you're happy, Jay Billis.
Okay, but also those other sports that are being supported, like gymnastics, there have been some women who have made money off name, image, and likeness off of that as well. So, I mean, it benefits them as well. So, I look, the system is terrible right now. It's a joke, but that's blamed on the people who failed to give it any structure. They lost in court, and they threw their hands up, and they said, watch this, and this is what we have.
All right. When do you think it'll get better, in 5 years? 10 years.
I have no idea. But
do you think it'll ever get better?
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay. Because it's the system is not sustainable right now. It's not going to work. Yeah. And they're going to say to the, you know, or they could go and they could have, this is what I think is going to happen. And this might be why Belichick is going to North Carolina, is this is going to be minor league NFL. And there'll be maybe 32 schools, and they'll be all connected to NFL teams, you know, and that's the way that's going to work too.
And that means it's not going to be better. It's going to be shittier. But I'm resigned to the fact it's never going to get better. Andy thinks you have a low threshold for being satisfied, and that's fine.
Was it the right system where Mickey Mantle wins the Triple Crown and they tell him, we're going to have to cut your pay 10,000 because you didn't have a batting average that was high as the year before. And he had no recourse because there was something called the reserve clause, and it made everybody happy. And Bowie Kuhn testified before court, the Supreme Court said, this is the system that has to be in place. Well, now we got players making $700 million. Has it ruined the sport? Maybe it has. I don't know.
You're using a pro league with professional players and collusion by owners.
That's what college sports is.
Well, that's what you say. Well, okay. Okay. And you know what you're going to get?
It's a pro league without structure.
You're going to get a shittier pro league that's smaller in scope that strips away all the charm of what used to exist. I'm just glad I had many, many years of college football that made sense as an amateur sport on television that I could watch and enjoy and make sense of, because that world is gone and it's never coming back. A mini shittier NFL is coming your way with about 65 teams total, and good luck. Maybe it'll work. Yeah, maybe it'll be great.
And the guys who went for 4 years and have CTE and knees that don't work anymore, and they walked away with nothing. Yeah, it was a great system for you, not for them. Yeah,
like my buddy Hatch, who went to Cincinnati and played wide receiver, and he's doing quite well selling software for government agencies and other contractors. And I play golf with him all the time. No CTE, no bad knees.
And I'm sure there's 100 more for every one of him. But there's also guys who did play and have bad physical problems right now, walked away with nothing, while the school made millions. And Nick Saban, God bless him, walked away on principle. But he made gazillions of dollars for years off the backs of these guys who weren't making anything.
Gazillions! Right, because he had the same level of responsibility as a safety at Alabama. Same workload as him.
Oh, so. that's how you want to. Okay, so the safety had some responsibility. Should he have made some money when the coach was making $11 million a year, not to mention endorsements and everything else he was involved in?
If he could have put a deal together with a sub shop to go sign autographs, fine. That's what true NIL was. Now they're just paying the players.
That didn't happen because the collective got in and the boosters.
I know. It didn't happen because
$50 handshakes when I was covering the old Southwest Conference.
I know.
And they got involved and the money started flowing in. And I thought we'd see these guys on commercials all the time. We never see them because
nobody knows who they are.
There isn't anything like that.
Because I've been screaming this for years. Nobody knows these kids. There is no real name, image, or likeness. It's going to end up just being a salary. It's going to be a payroll. They have to pay the players. It's going to bankrupt schools, and it's going to chase away
it's not
donors.
Bankrupt schools. It's not
it's going to. It's putting a severe strain on sponsors and donors, and supporters. And
The poor donors. Yeah, the poor donors.
It's not poor donors, Andy. Go talk to one that said, "I'm not donating to the university anymore because I'm tired of this."
Happens is they go to these donors and they say, here, you need to put in $1.5 million this year. So they do it. And then the next year they come back, we're going to need two this year.
And then when that sponsor says I'm out, then what?
Yeah. Then you have to have what I've been talking about here, a salary structure, contracts.
No. When the donor leaves, how do you get them back?
You don't depend on the donors. The money is determined the revenue from television and merchandising and things like that.
But as an example for, say, Wisconsin, let's say it's Fleet Farm that has been in for the University of Wisconsin for $2 million a year. They want to bump it to $3 million. They finally go, you know what? We got to spend our marketing elsewhere. They're out. Now you've lost a $2 million account. And there aren't an unlimited number of Fleet Farms in the state of Wisconsin. You have to then spend time and money and effort to get them back. Do you know that getting a sponsor or a client back is multiple times harder than keeping one? This is happening now. It's going to happen more.
that you will have an announcement from the University of Wisconsin, a school that I attended football games at, where the school would say, we just don't have money to field the football team this year. Sorry. So Camp Randall, I know you're filling it up with, 70, 80,000 people, whatever it holds, but we're not going to have any games this year because we don't have any money. Do you think that's going to happen?
Okay. No. You're using what is called argumentum ad absurdum, which is you zoom to the most absurd ending, which is we're not going to play games. It's not that, Andy. It's that it's going to devolve into a much lesser thing. But let's end it on that. Let's end on this note about Greg Gumbel. He passed away at 78 years old due to cancer. It was a sort of a stealth thing because he'd kind of disappeared a bit from the spotlight recently. There was the only some word last spring when he was doing March Madness that he was away for family health issues. But, you know, he passes away as very well liked in the industry, and you had some intersection with him at WFAN.
Yeah, he was a wonderful guy. Maybe I was a little too cynical on this, but at the time I was working with him, this was 1987 to 88, his brother Bryant was one of the biggest stars in television. He was the Today Show, and there'd been a profile of him in Sports Illustrated that portrayed him as a terrible guy, with his mother quoted as saying he's the devil, and I didn't
Bryant,
know him at
that
all.
Is.
Yeah, and so I started working with Greg, and I saw how nice he was to everybody and how friendly he was and always had a smile. I mean, just a really warm and nice guy. And I almost thought, well, is he trying to overcompensate for his brother? And
at the time, I read that Greg Gumbel was not even in media. He was selling something.
Well, that was going back to when he got his start in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
When he was working in Chicago. But he was one of the early anchors at ESPN.
Right,
so when
right,
he came to WFAN, he'd been on ESPN for 6-7 years. And then he went to MSG as well, Madison Square Garden Network, where he was Marv Albert's backup. So he did Nick games and things like that. And then he left WFAN after a year because they bought the NBC station. So Imus was coming in. And not long after that, he wound up at CBS and NBC and had just a fabulous career, but just a really great, great guy. I mean, I read all the tributes. None of them there's nothing different in any of them. Everybody says it's the same thing, you know, just how tremendous a person he was.
Yeah. Didn't have any real broadcast superpowers, was just a genial, strong voice that, you know, worked well in the studio and was a decent, right down the middle of the road play-by-play man.
I think he was very comfortable in his own skin. I think sometimes when you're living in the shadow of a more famous brother, that's an uncomfortable situation for people. It wasn't apparently for him. And he carved out his own path. And, to a person, everybody who worked with him said the same thing I did, that just how incredibly nice and friendly he was to everybody and what a joy he was to work with.
Yeah. Comfortable in his own skin, yet wore a toupee.
Well, okay, you're going to nitpick about that, huh?
Is that wrong of
me? That's an issue.
Am I not allowed to say that, Andy?
Yeah, that's the...
What, am I the asshole here on this?
The Monroe can't cook thing, that's ridiculous. That's what he chose to do, okay?
That was his look. Okay, all right, Andy. I love you, even though we argue at times. It's the fun of it, and I hope you have a great Hanukkah the rest of the time with your beautiful granddaughter, who you are spoiling rotten. The benefits of grandparenthood, right?
Absolutely. And I got another one on the way, so it's all good. Yep.
Mazel, mazel. Good luck on the Commanders tonight. How do you feel about this game against Atlanta?
Well, I mean, it's a game they could conceivably lose and still make the playoffs. But
you don't want to start fucking around with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they should win. They're playing pretty well. So
you disappointed Kirk is not starting? That it would be a Kirk comeback, his second one, because he had one with the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that, but, this is also a rookie quarterback matchup, which is pretty interesting as well with
that's a good point,
Michael
Penix.
Yeah,
there you go. So, and you're not going to the game tonight?
No, my brother-in-law, my sister, and their daughter are going because my nephew is an assistant trainer with the Falcons.
Oh, very nice. All right, we'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
See ya. That's why I'm easy.
I'm easy like Sunday morning. Yeah.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.